This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca. The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind. Comparing ourselves to others is a natural human trait. We compare things to make a conclusion and from which we make a choice. We evaluate our own opinions and abilities by comparing ourselves to others in order to reduce uncertainty and learn how to define ourselves. It has a name. It's called social comparison theory, and it centers on the belief that we're driven to gain accurate self-evaluations for the purpose of self-enhancement. But it can become a problem when comparison becomes an obsession. Susan, what have you discovered about this topic?
So I actually have, I found a definition from an author. Her name is Melissa Ambrosini. She actually also has a podcast and she's published several books. And her latest book is actually called Comparisonitis. And she has, her definition is pretty interesting. So comparisonitis, it is a contagious, socially transmitted condition that occurs when you compare yourself to others so frequently and fiercely that you're left paralyzed with your confidence in tatters, your self-worth plummeting. And it may sound trivial, but this affliction can have serious adverse effects on our mental health, leading to depression, anxiety, overthinking, and regret. Thanks to social media, we have more opportunities to compare ourselves than ever before. And we need to heal from this disease as it hurts our hearts. Comparisons can rob you of your joy and happiness. And when I told some friends of mine that we were going to do an episode about comparing yourself to others, I had some people tell me, and excuse my language, they said, you know, Susan, this is pseudo-intellectual bullshit. And I want to tell you that that's just not right, because personally, this has been the single most destructive element in my life from starting when I was a child. And it's continued up to today. It really is for many, many different reasons. But I think today we'll focus on body image. Am I the only one that's had this as an issue?
No, I struggle with it a lot. Not being very tall and being a little bit lower body heavy has always been my internal struggle, to the point where, you know, I always wished that I was taller, I had nicer legs. I think that the world would be a lot better for me if I had that image. And here I am, you know, 30, 40 years later in my life, and I still struggle with it. I'm still telling myself and telling my family, oh my God, if I could have the perfect surgery to look better, I would feel better about myself. But then I think to myself, oh my God, you know, there's other people who have beautiful legs and they carry everything in their mid area. And oh my God, that must be just as bad. So I think that we need to learn how to feel better about what we were born with. And it's funny, we're talking about this today, Susan, is because I was thinking to myself, oh, I want to Google how to make your, you know, lower body look better in certain clothes that you wear, or even wearing a shorter skirt. It's a constant nag on me. You know, I'm constantly comparing myself to those who have everything I've always wanted. I said to my daughter just the other day, thank God that bigger hips and bigger back ends are coming back, because maybe now it's my turn to kind of appreciate what I have. You know, if you think about it, all these women are having these butt implants and, you know, making their waist tighter. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I've struggled. They want bigger legs. And you're seeing pictures with women that do have that little ripples and cellulite, which, you know, I might have a little more than them. But how funny is it? It's okay for us. We're older. but I feel sorry for the young people, like you said, people that are watching social media and don't have that self-confidence and are really, really hard on themselves. And it can cause some serious problems mentally, because you could either be too thin or you could be not so well proportioned and really internalize that. These girls are doing all these apps and they're making themselves look thinner and better. And it's all an illusion.
You know, it's funny, comparing myself to myself was always the worst thing. Oh, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that way? So I didn't have to compare myself to other people to make myself feel uncomfortable. But I will say, just a different way to look at this comparison thing, watching the Grammys last night and watching very, very successful, accomplished women come out and basically have to parade themselves around. I mean, there were some women there who we would have said look like hookers in the past. And yet these are such accomplished women that I can't imagine how young girls are going, they are going to compare themselves to these images that are so unrealistic, so fabricated. I think that's an unhealthier view even of comparison, because it's not even now what you were born with. It's what you're able to afford to change yourself to. And it scares me for a lot of young girls. You know, when I just think about some young children who are in 5 and 6 years old, they've got these dolls called LOL. These girls have exaggerated eyes and big lips and massive butts and huge breasts. These are dolls that are marketed to girls that are 6 years old. What happens in, you know, when puberty hits and they aren't able to look up to that comparison? Because this is what's being sold to them. And we all thought it was Barbie, but now this is being marketed to a much younger age group. So I think the fear of going forward for me is comparing yourself to fabricated, totally made up versions of women. That's scary to me.
For you now?
For me now, what's the point? Hey, you know, like, do the best you can. There's nothing. What am I going to do? Compare myself? Like, no. For me now, no. I think you got to just try to do the best you can at this stage, because there's nothing to compare to. We are women of a certain age, and hopefully we're going to age well, and hopefully we're going to age healthy. But you just can't hide who you are at a certain stage. It just is who you are. Like, nature's taken over. So that comparison thing to me should be out the door. There's no point. Nobody cares.
I totally agree. But, and I have much more to say on this, but on that point about where we are in our life right now, we all know that if we go somewhere and there's always going to be, I have to say, a woman in the room who looks at you, and not just looks at you, she looks you over. Up and down. And she is making a judgment. I mean, it's just, sorry. I mean, but this is, it's, I guess, another topic about why women dislike other women, the misogynistic aspect. But it's still very much there, even for women 50 and above. And so the question is, what methods do we use to deal with this?
Susan, I just ask one really quick question, okay? Why do you care? Why do you care what any...
You're right. Why do I care? And that's actually something Deborah was going to say, I'm sure. That's an excellent question, because it's such an ingrained belief that, I mean, I'm not going to go on the sob story of my mother did this to me. She did, actually. But I'm not going to play victim. But I mean, it's so ingrained in me from the age of, I would say, 5 onwards, that I had no self-identity until I think I was like 50, honest to God. I was comparing myself to everybody. I dressed like the person I admired. I did, pretty unbelievable. So it's an ingrained belief, and I've really gotten so much better, and I don't care. Now I just find it pretty interesting when someone will say to me, look at that person's really looking you over. And I'll say, what, are you kidding me? You know, but it's there. And now I just think it's interesting, but it is still there, even at our age.
Is it our own insecurities of what we struggle with? Because I really don't think that people see us the way that we see us. We're our worst enemy. And I say that because I'm constantly, personally, told no matter where I go, oh my God, I do anything to have your body. Oh my God, I do anything to be your size, be petite. And I think to myself, oh my God, but if I drop my clothes right now, you would run. So you know what? I don't think that people really, really look at us the way that we look at ourselves. And I think that that's one of our biggest obstacles that we need to get over as women, or and I'm sure men deal with the same thing. That's a whole different podcast.
I don't think they do, actually.
But you know what, Susan, let me go back to one thing. I don't think there's anything wrong through your life emulating or choosing clothing or a style because you saw it on another woman and liked it and like it on yourself. That's not feeling comparison. That's like, hey, I like the way that jacket fits, or I like that haircut. That's something I think I would feel okay with. That, I don't consider that comparison.
Okay, let me stop you right now, and then you can go on. The reason it's negative for me is that I was unable to have an identity of my own. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm Susan and I like to wear that clothing. It wasn't until someone else who I thought was, okay, attractive and I would like to look like or be like, that I tried to replicate that. There's a difference. There's a really distinct difference in not being able to find your own uniqueness. And that's the important thing, is that everyone, and the parents out there, listen to this, allow your child to find what's unique about them. You can compare yourself, and I think that's healthy. I mean, as you said, Deborah, that's a normal thing that we all do, but mm-hmm. you have to be proud of your own uniqueness. I mean, everyone is special in their own right, but unfortunately, either the parent, and it's unfortunate when you're young, either the parent will shoot that down, or they'll do it the other way. They'll say, you're better than everybody else. You're prettier. You're this, you're that. And then you become a narcissist. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, now that's my response to that.
Well, all I can say is, having been told my whole life, oh, you're your own person, or you are unique, aren't you? Sometimes that felt worse, that I didn't feel like I could fit in. But either way, I've accepted that. But I guess at this stage, I would just hope for you that you could find some peace in that, because there's nobody to compare yourself to anymore. We've already grown into all of these, you know, who we are, and had our successes and our failures, and that, you know, now it's okay to want to live in your skin. Now, I was going to comment to another thing. Maybe when you're walking into these rooms, you're so attractive that instead of you people thinking they're talking negative, they're thinking, I would like to look like that.
So, absolutely.
You know, you might
that's
be going
negative,
about this the wrong way.
But that's negative too.
Why?
I mean, yeah, because they're judging you. It's a comparison and a judging. Instead of just looking and, I mean, it's an uncomfortable thing. I mean, I really try not to do that anymore. And I don't circulate with people that do that. I choose not to be around people like that.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with what you were saying. The comparison part of what we're talking about is natural. It's what humans do, and we do it so that we can see where we fit in that or not, so that we can see where we are, basically. The key here, and what you were just saying, is the word judgment. When judgment comes into the story, then we have a problem. Whether you're judging somebody else, or whether you're judging yourself, the judgment is the problem, not the comparison itself. So as far as, you know, when you're judging somebody else, you're not defining them, you're defining yourself. By focusing on something that you're judging, it's indicating a trigger, something about yourself that you don't like, or maybe something that you were taught growing up. So, you know, that person is flaunting herself, and I was told as a kid that you should never flaunt yourself, therefore it is bad. There's your judgment. It is bad. As far as walking into the room and feeling judged by others. Why are you walking into the room, scanning the room, looking for approval and disapproval? You can walk into a room, hold your head high, and literally all you've done is walk into a room, no problem. But there's a deeper wounding that is being triggered that is causing the problem, and it's all around judgment.
It's very well said. And so I think the issue is probably back to the parenting. Because I think a lot of it is deep-rooted, and you got to be lucky if you have parents that acknowledge you for who you are and don't compare you to others. So that deep ingrained belief isn't there. I found another quote that says, no matter how well you are doing, comparing yourself to others will stop the momentum of reaching your goals. It may cause you to feel badly about yourself, as there are always people who are wealthier, healthier, skinnier, look happier, more spiritual, more successful. I mean, it goes on and on. It's interesting.
Susan, you were saying about being molded by your parents, and perhaps this is something I've learned later. Oh my goodness, my parents were wrong about a bunch of stuff. They weren't just wrong about, you know, if, you know, not that I don't love them. I love them. They're really wonderful people, but their judgment of me, they were wrong. So if they were wrong about those things, then I think they weren't probably right about how they necessarily looked at me. And so I can forgive myself and I can forgive them because they're only human. And I realized that they thought I was one person, but I can tell you the inside person isn't the one they thought I was. And I like the one that who I ended up being. I mean, again, made mistakes. But I realized that judgment that my parents threw on me wasn't right. They were wrong. And I've been able to liberate myself from some of their misjudgments and application of that as to how I should feel about myself.
It could be quite damaging when you have an unrealistic view of yourself and what you should look like, and you want to compare yourself to others. I know for me, you know, when I was younger and I was, you know, in the gym every day, I always complained about what I didn't have and why I didn't look a certain way and what I wanted. And I had a young daughter that I was raising who actually was internalizing, thinking that, well, if mom doesn't think she looks good, then maybe I don't look good. And that's very damaging. You know, I've had those conversations with her because she's got a great body. And boy, would I like to have her body if I could. But you know, she's expressed to me, Mom, you don't know how hard it was on me. And I feel horrible because it was never about her. It was all about me. So we have to be very conscious of what we're saying and who we're saying it around. And I really am very conscious now because I work with women who, you know, are all, you know, different body types. And you got to watch what you say.
Yeah.
Have to watch what you say.
Yeah. So just as an example, I'm petite. I mean, I'm 5'1", and I don't think there was a day that went by in my house where I wasn't told that I was short. And to the point where up to, I would say I'm 65, 5 years ago, I would never go anywhere. Even I would bring a pair of shoes to someone's house that had heels. I would never, ever go barefoot. I think actually, Karen, the first time I went to your place and I had to go barefoot, I was like aghast.
Oh, because I made you take your shoes off. Oh, I'm so sorry.
But no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it's a ridiculous thing. It's ridiculous.
But you're still taller than me, Susie.
It's ridiculous, but there's an example. So here's the question. How do you stop? What are strategies to help people stop comparing themselves to others and get on with life and who they are?
Okay. There's three steps. The first one is what we're talking about now is catching yourself. Catch yourself with these thoughts, you know, with the self-judgment. You'll know how it feels. It doesn't feel very good. You can analyze that and say, oh yeah, I'm judging myself. So you need to catch yourself first. The second thing is you need to find perspective. So what actually are you comparing yourself to? So let's just take your situation, Susan, of feeling short. So when you were at Karen's house, did you still feel short, or you just went through the motions of that feeling of if you had to take your shoes off and like, what was that? Did you notice that you were short, or was it just a memory and a reaction to your memory?
You're asking me?
I'm asking you.
Yes, I felt short. I felt effing short, actually, because, yes, there were people well over 6 feet there.
Okay.
I felt short, but you know what? It was fine.
But do you think that anyone really thought about that? It's because we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
No one thought about it.
I know.
But see, you thought about it. We think about it.
But that's
it's a trained, it's something that you're used to doing. So it's your go-to feeling, you know, in a situation like that. But you know what?
I was when I went to the cottage and I had a short skirt on. It was the first time in my life. I was so surprised that I did it. Even my daughter congratulated me that I didn't feel great in my skin, but I did it. I never wear a bathing suit. I had a pool for 10 years. I made my kids call me before they brought a friend over so that I could jump out of the pool and put a longer skirt on so nobody would see me in a bathing suit. So you can imagine how I felt.
These are deep-rooted fears and self-judgments. And yeah, there's probably more to it than what we can cover in a podcast episode, that's for sure. But just generally, you can't make any changes until you're aware. So the first thing really is becoming aware. But the other thing that we really need to do once we are aware is to change the narrative. Change that thought in your head. So going back to the example of Susan having to take your shoes off, you could have said what to yourself to make yourself feel better? Or what did you say to yourself to make yourself feel better?
I just did it, and I tried to stand with perfect posture, and sat down a lot. Well,
and did you get over that feeling of feeling too short?
It's ridiculous. And I realize that. And I have progressed. I mean, I don't care now. And I go with flats and I'm proud of who I am now. I mean, I've gotten over it, but it took my point of all this is that it took way too long in my life. Mm-hmm. And I want people to listen to this and think, I mean, this poor girl, she's wasted so much time in her life on these silly, silly things. She's so lucky she's healthy. She's this and blah, 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 blah. So that's what I want people to know is that stop wasting a moment of your life on these things that unfortunately sometimes our parents or a movie or social media can make you believe and focus on you and your uniqueness.
And you know, I'm going to add one thing I used to say to my daughter, although Karen, I did do what you did. I used to, you know, why compare her to everybody? But what I did say to her at times in her life is that you think people are thinking about you. They're not. You walk into a room and you think because they look at you that they're thinking of you. Chances are they could be thinking of like the water bill at home. They just happen to glance in your direction. And the other thing is you think they're thinking negative. They could be thinking the most positive thoughts in the world. Mm-hmm. But people really don't spend much time thinking about other people. We're inside
at all.
Thinking about ourselves all the time. So all that stuff where we judged ourselves against other people, probably 99% of the time it was never there.
Do you know that even men, believe it or not, never see a woman's flaws in her body when they're together? It's a proven fact. But we are so self-conscious about ourselves, about how we look, they don't see it.
That might come a little bit from the fact that we all had mothers and we are mothers and we probably did a lot of that comparison thing to us and then did it back again. So we need to unlearn this for our daughters.
I can offer a phrase that you can repeat to yourself over and over, maybe even write it on a sticky note and practice it. Really, really simple. And I say this to a lot of my clients in the healing practice. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
What you think of me is none of my business.
That's wonderful.
Love it. Love it.
I love it. Why didn't you say that to me 35 years ago?
Because you didn't ask.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.